We do have several prayer requests. This first one is for Leon Ledbetter, who's having surgery today. And we want to just pray for smooth surgery and protect the hands of the surgeons as they do that surgery. Then we've been asked to pray for Kimberly and Steve Hawley, who are in a spiritual warfare at this time with attacks from the enemy from every angle on their health, on their finances, just several things that they're dealing with right now. And then we want to pray for the family of Jeanette Sampley, who passed to her heavenly home this week.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today for Leon Ledbetter, Lord, as he's having this surgery today. We pray that you would guide the hands of the surgeon and all of those involved, the first assist, the anesthesiologist. Lord, let everything go smoothly and that he would have a speedy recovery and all would be well, and trusting for his complete recovery and healing. Pray for Kimberly and Steve Hawley, Lord, in their situation, all that they're going through. That you would be with them, that they would feel the strong arm of the Lord uphold them. Lord, that they would know that you are with them through this time and period of their life, that even in their times of question, when they question why or how, Lord, that they keep their faith in you and know that you're faithful through it all. Lord, we pray that you would show yourself strong on their behalf, meet their financial needs. We know that you told us in your word that you would supply all of our need according to your riches and glory, Lord, and we trust you for that and believe in you for that. We pray for healing in their physical bodies, for strength. We know that you are our healer, and Lord, we know that you are the one who meets every need, that you would strengthen them spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We know that when the spirit's low, it affects the physical, and vice versa. When the physical body is sick, it affects the spiritual and the emotional side. We pray for strength for them, Lord, and we pray, God, for the Jeanette Sampley family with her passing. We pray that you give comfort and strength to them as they lay her to rest, and that you give them your strength and comfort. And Lord, if any of them don't know you, that maybe her life of as a Christian would be reflected again, once again, upon them, and they would come to know you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Tim, would you please be so kind as to share where you pastor at, the church, the location, times of services, and any other announcements that you may?
Yes. We are at Cheyenne Pentecostal Holiness Church in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. We're our address is 111 South 2nd there in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. It's right on the corner of Clay and 2nd Street, if you're not familiar with that. If you know where Martin's Trading Post is, right off of Main Street, we're just south of there, a little white church with a brown building. Lord willing, we'll have a sign up soon. We've got some renovations going on right now that we've got a lot going on. We have our Sunday school at 10 on Sunday morning, and then 11 o'clock is our Sunday morning service. And then Wednesday night, we have our Bible study prayer meeting at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights. October the 30th, I have a man by the name of Andrew Gonzalez will be preaching for us from Arkansas. And so we're looking forward to that. And I think that's all the announcements I have at this moment.
Okay, thank you for sharing, sir. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. They are one of our sponsors. Refuge Church, located 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre. You have to put East 1140 Road or it will not get you there. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will not only bless your shoes off, she'll bless your socks off too. You'll be running around barefoot. And then Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. We all have guidelines that we live by. These guidelines are protective. They're essential to a truly productive life. They not only give you increase on the outside, they bring you security on the inside. When the guidelines are established is important. You don't want to establish them in the journey, but before you begin, how you start will be an indicator of where you will end.
Bart Ison Ford was recently awarded the Ford President's Award for the fifth time. We want to thank our customers as we celebrate this prestigious award. We love what we do, and you're the reason we're the number one auto dealer of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle.
They're loyal to me, and I'm loyal to them. For us at PK & Company, we always buy our vehicles at Barbara Dyson Ford, now and forever.
All of us here at Hutchinson will love the people and the trucks we get at Barbara Dyson.
I buy all my family vehicles, as well as my company vehicles, for Smith Ag from Barber Dyson.
Come experience the difference at Barber Dyson Ford and check us out at BarberDysonFord.net.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Tim Patterson, and his title for this morning is How to Live in a Hostile World. Back to you, sir.
I don't have a whole lot left to add there, but I do encourage when we look at the hostile world we live in, it's real easy to become judgmental about it and say, well, you know, we can go to Romans 1 and we see the heathen, right? You know, and we say, yeah, get them, God, get them. But then Romans chapter 2, first verse out of Paul's writing of chapter 2, it says, who are you, O man, that thou judgest when you do some of the same things? It's like, ow. I had to preach last Sunday about hypocrisy, you know, and that is not an easy thing to, but how do we deal with our hypocrisy? Well, the same way we dealt with our sin. We take it to the cross. We take it to Calvary. And we say, God, I forgot what you saved me from. I forgot what you brought me out of. And so when we deal with a hostile world, we live in a world that's angry. We have so many angry people. I mean, road rage. It just doesn't take much for people just to fly off the handle. They'll write you off. They'll cuss you out. We live in an angry world. Partly because there has been a misconstruing of what love is. We have taken Disney's version and amplify that throughout the world, and so that's what we're trying to base our relationships on is love, like we saw in Aladdin, where he's singing, "I can show you the world." There's no magic carpets here, I don't know why we ever thought Snow White was a great idea to show us how to love somebody. I mean, she ate an apple, she wakes up, and the guy kissed her. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. The idea of love. You want to know how we live in a hostile world? We love. But what does it mean to love? Love is not a feeling. Love is not simply an emotion. Love is an act of the will.
Come on.
You love whom you will to love. One man, Vody Bochum, says, love is an act of the will accompanied by emotion on behalf of the object of its affection. Again, let me say that. Love is an act of the will accompanied by emotion that leads to action on the behalf of the object of its affection. Love is an action. So when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what is love? You know, love has a lot to do with it. You know, I want to break out in that song right now, and I ain't going to do it. What does love do? Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is these things. And so how do I live in a hostile world? Well, when somebody's being, for lack of better terms, a jerk, how do I handle that? Now, I understand there are situations where, you know, that if you're having to take a stand for your staff, your employee, and your employees, and you say, I'm not going to subject my staff to that type of behavior, you have to draw a line. I understand that. But that's on a professional level. We're talking on a personal level. Now, I'm not saying, understand me. Love is not allowing yourself to be abused, okay? Mm-hmm. That's not love. Okay. But love does say, they did me wrong. I'm not going to keep putting myself in that situation, but I'm not going to be bitter towards them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray that God helps them. I'm going to do the best I can to love them as I know how. I know somebody dear to my heart recently that had to cut ties with somebody that she loves, but for her own spiritual, emotional, physical well-being, a tie had to be severed. And she still prays for it. She prays that he gets saved. She prays that he gets free of his drug addiction and that he gets help with his narcissistic tendencies. But how do I live in a hostile world? God, first show me how to love. Mm-hmm. Help me to love like Jesus loved. Love conquers. Soft answer turns away wrath. When it's real easy. I am an emotional person. So somebody comes at me, or specifically, if somebody comes towards my family, I'm kind of like Malchus or Peter. Lord, shall we smite with the sword? I don't even wait to hear from God. Pull the sword, cut off an ear. I don't care. I got blood on the sword. I did something, right? I didn't deal with the problem. I just made more problems for Jesus to fix. But that's our response. That's how I want to respond. You know, you don't come after my wife. I will fight you. Okay. I may lose, but, I may, you know, but it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the fight in the dog. Right. You know? There's something in us that we naturally we want to protect. How do I live in a hostile world where we knew they wanted to kill him. They knew that. They knew Peter and them knew there's a great potential we're going to die. Mm-hmm. It is likely that we are going to die a martyr's death. It ain't going to be pretty. And none of them died a pretty death. The only one that died of old age was John, and he did get persecuted. They tried to kill him, and God didn't let it happen. They put the man in boiling oil, for crying out loud. I mean, this man went through it. He ends up on an island by himself. Yet when you're all alone in a hostile world and you feel alone, guess what? Mm-hmm. You can still find yourself in God, because he said, I was on the Isle of Patmos and I found myself in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Mm-hmm. Even when we're alone in our hostile world, when the family has walked away, when our family says you're brainwashed because we're trying to serve Jesus. You can look at them and say, I ain't brainwashed. I'm bloodwashed. I know that's cliche.
Come on.
But, you know, I may feel alone. But, you know what? In this hostile world, a man with God is a majority. And so how do I live in this hostile world? You do exactly what Paul said. I know whom I have believed. You establish yourself in your faith. And say, God, I want to know you more. Mm-hmm. Not just know about you. I want to know you deeply. Yes. Let me be like John who rested on the chest of Jesus, who was close to Jesus regularly. And let me be that close. Let me. Why was it that they were able to endure such hardship? Why was it that Peter said when he was being crucified, don't you dare hang me up like you hung my Lord. You hang me upside down because I'm not worthy to die like he died. You talk about a man who fell in love with Jesus. You want to know how to live in a hostile world. You fall in love with Jesus and let him become everything. And when you do that, you can live for God in a hostile world. Does that mean you're not going to be Bugs Bunny? tiptoeing through the tulips. No, you're going to have times where you feel like Wile E. Coyote trying to catch a roadrunner. All right. It's going to be days like that. One of these days, though, praise God, we're going to catch that roadrunner. Right. We're going to make it if we'll just be faithful. Faithful is he that has called us and who will also do it. He started a good work. He is able to finish it. And he said to him that endureth to the end. Right? Isn't that what he told us? He said, I've got something for him. There is a reward. Heaven will be worth the journey. How do I live in this hostile world? I remember, this world is not my home. I am only passing through. I've got a better destination I'm heading to, Neva. I've got something on the other side. I've got a place where there's no more sin, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. The sufferings of this life are nothing. That's what Paul said. He said, neither height nor depth nor none of these things are to be compared to the glory that should be revealed in us. And he wasn't talking about just on the other side, Tina. He's talking about on this side, that God can be glorified. Whew, hallelujah, I'm feeling it today. God can be glorified. Amen. Even in the middle of your trial, God can be glorified in the middle of a hostile world. And somebody just maybe could say, man, if I could just have what they have, I think I'd be all right. And somebody comes to the realization, I need to know God the way that they know God. And I need this Jesus that they've got. Let me say that in closing. There was maybe 100 soldiers. I can't remember the exact number, that were Christians, and it was found out they were Christians, and their commanding officer ordered them to march naked on a frozen lake over and over and over again, and to either recant or die. Those men were marching, and they could hear them crying out, you know, whatever. And 52 soldiers marched for Jesus, 52. And then one of the soldiers was listening, and he heard them say 51. The number went down, and he thought, one of them must have died. Well, then came running in one of the men, and he recanted. And he said, I want to recant. That soldier that was sitting in there waiting and thought that one of them died took his clothes off and ran out there and joined them and said, 52 soldiers marching for Jesus. Just to know that even when other people quit, if you'll keep going, it might impact somebody else. God can be glorified even in our trial. And even in everything that we do, God can get the glory. You can live for God in a hostile world. In a hostile home, you can be the light. There were Muslim teenage girls who their own brothers and own siblings or even their own fathers took their life because they put their faith in Jesus. But they said, he's the best thing that has ever happened. He changed my life. He took my sin and washed it away, and nothing you can do is going to take that away. This joy that I have, you didn't give it to me. Other faiths didn't give it to me. This peace that I have, nobody gave this to me other than Jesus Christ. And you just go ahead and take me out, because when you do, I'm going with him. Amen. You think you can threaten me with heaven? Go ahead.
Come on.
I don't care, because heaven is greater. So how can I live for God in a hostile world? I know I've got a heavenly home that I'm heading towards. And if I'll just be faithful, I'm going to make it. Amen.
You know, Pastor Tim, I turned my back on my God. Because I had a twisted idea of who he was. I thought I knew who he was. I thought he was this big, angry, white-bearded dude sitting up there on the throne with lightning bolts just watching Monica. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
And then I came to a place where I really needed to know God. And in my darkest of dark, when I cried his name, when I cried that sweet name, Jesus, he showed up.
Right. Yeah.
And his Holy Spirit, it was so sweet. He said, I want you to read. my word.
Right.
And I want you to read the New Testament. Mm-hmm. I want you to get to know my son, mm-hmm. the one I sent
yeah.
to save you, that made the way for you back home.
Right.
And then I want you, after you read that, then I want you to go and read the Old Testament yeah. so that you can get to know my true character.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I did that.
Yeah.
And in that process, I seen things in this book, mm-hmm. in this living.
Right.
Living. It's not just a book.
Right.
And I assure you, it is not just some fairy tale.
Right.
It is the living, yeah. changing lives. Word of God.
Right. Yes. Yes. Amen.
And only God can take someone like Monica and give her a really sweet life.
Yes. Amen.
Because I assure you, mm-hmm. I was headed straight to hell.
Right.
But God.
Right. Yes.
Loved me so much and whispered, just come home. My child,
yeah.
just come home.
Right. Yeah.
And when you hear that and you change direction, you repent and you yeah. change your direction mm-hmm. and start going the opposite way,
yeah.
he takes every step with you.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. That's right. Amen. So true.
Just throw my 2 cents worth in here when you were talking about how God's glorified. Oh, I should get around here because she's always going to move. Now that we have someone else yeah, in here to move. Usually we just stood behind the iPad and talked, and you just wondered where can't that sound was coming anymore. From.
Yeah. Right.
But in thinking about something you said a while ago, and I think about the issue that Joe went through with the cancer and how the doctors gave him no hope and how I just continued to believe and lean on that scripture. All things work together for the good of right. those who love the Lord, who are called according to yes. his purpose. And if you could see him today, if you mm-hmm. see him today, I mean, he is, he worked in our yard like 8 hours Saturday. I got home yesterday evening. He was out there working in the yard. He got up yesterday morning. His oxygen level mm-hmm. was 97. That's the best it's been in a while. He, I believe, is a well man. He is a well man. And from that, from the people that know us, that know the diagnosis that he got last year and can see him, if that doesn't speak to some hearts, then there is something wrong with their heart.
Yeah.
You know, they have got to understand and they've got to know that yeah. God is the almighty healer, that God is still on our side, that yes. God is still on his throne, and that we need to know him just like you right. talked about. When you were talking about that, I was thinking, once again, this always kind of pricks my heart in that, I have 20 grandkids. I know them. I know most of their birthdays. But do I really know them? No, I don't know for sure what they like to eat. I don't know for sure some things like that. Because, of course, they're all scattered. Most everybody's off a distance. And we have got to come to know our Heavenly Father a lot better than I know my grandkids. And if we don't know him and know the things he's provided for us, and it's all through the word, right. all through the word, what he has for us. And we need to latch onto that. And the only way we can latch onto it is to get in the word.
Right.
Get in the word,
yeah.
read it, and read it again. Read it out loud to yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to get in there. Memorize some of those scriptures.
Yes.
If I hadn't memorized some scriptures, some hard times I would have gone through, I might have just melted down right there.
Right. Yep.
But I didn't because I had the word hid in my heart.
Yes.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might yes. not sin against
right.
thee.
Yes.
Just, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways
yes.
acknowledge him
Amen.
And he'll direct
Preach,
your path.
Preacher.
You know,
yes.
I mean, you just got to do those things.
Amen.
And if
yes.
you're just kind of a lukewarm riding the fence, that isn't good.
Right.
Read that. You can find that in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, that's not good.
Oh.
So get in the game with the Lord. He's going to yeah. be there for your every single
yeah.
solitary need. So that's all I have to say.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the psalmist said, buy the truth and sell it not. And I've said this before, and I know it's cliche probably, but if you'll sell out for him,
come on,
he won't ever sell you out.
Mm-mm.
Amen. I mean, go all in. Amen. We don't. None of us like to do things halfway. Who wants to do things halfway? I mean, you build a house, you hire somebody to build a house, you want them to do it right. You don't want them to put a window in sideways or put stuff on 24-inch or 30-inch floor joists. You know, I mean, you want that 18-inch, right? Because you want to be able to walk through your house without the fear of falling through. We don't want things halfway, but how many times do we offer God our halfway? We offer him our leftovers. Lord, I know that I had a prime rib, but I gave that to this and this one and this one, and here's some meatloaf. If you don't like meatloaf, that really speaks to you. I like meatloaf, so it doesn't bother me too much. It's kind of like, let's just go a little more. I had prime rib, but here's some liver. All right. Now, I like liver too, but I know there's a lot more people that don't like liver. I was a butcher's son, so I can eat just about anything. But we got to quit giving God our leftovers.
Come on.
I don't know why we do that. It's like, hey, it's almost like, here's God, you want to make an exchange? Here's my liver. Give me your blessings. You know, thanks. And granted, God blesses us in spite of ourselves. What was it in the book of Revelation when he's talking to the church of Laodicea? The church was blind, naked, and poor, and didn't even know it. But he told them, he told them what they needed to do. And he said, by these things that you can be made whole. I stand at the door and I knock. It was an unmerited move of God. They did not deserve to have God correct them and to call them towards himself and say, come unto me. They didn't deserve that. None of us deserve the grace of God. If we did, it wouldn't be grace. Right? Grace is not getting what you do deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And to know that's exactly what, it's an unmerited move of God. You know how I know him, Sister Neva, is because he reached me. I can't do it on my own. Amen. I can't come to know him by myself. It's going to be in him. So
I want to mention something that was mentioned yesterday. Renee Kilhoffer was here. And she was sharing with us that a group in their church, the sisters in her church that called the Sisterhood, they have their prayer time at 8:00 in the evening, and they have committed to pray 1 minute at 8:00. And I said, you know, we talk about doing that, and we hear people talk about it, and so I'm going to set the alarm on my phone for 8 p.m. in the evening. And yesterday evening, I had just sat down to watch something on TV. America's Got Talent, I think, is what I was going to watch. And my phone went to making this funny noise, and I thought, what is that? Yeah. Sounded like a FaceTime something coming in. I looked. It was that alarm. Yeah. So I turned the TV off. I stopped, knowing I was praying with those other women in town and maybe some other people. And I would just recommend to you, set your alarm on your phone. Most everybody has that. And put on there to ring every night at 8:00, because if the enemy can't make us bad, he makes us busy.
That's right.
You know, I got home yesterday evening and unloaded my car, and then there was some weeds. I know Joe hates weeds, and so I worked in the yard until about 15 till 8 or maybe something like, about like that, and then I went in and got me a drink and sat down with my supplements, hadn't taken my vitamins yet, and was going to turn the TV on and watch that for a few minutes, and my alarm went off, and I stopped and I prayed. And we need to do that. I mean, that's, life is so dadgum busy.
Yes,
and like I said, if the enemy can't make you bad, he'll make you busy.
Yes,
so that's my 2 cents worth.
I think that was a nickel worth. Anyway, You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from the gorgeous Neva Pyatt, and from our handsome brother in Christ, Pastor Tim Patterson. Yeah. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.